Robert Eisenberg.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Say, on the question, what's an esrog worth after Sukkos? Okay. At the moment I'm looking around, I'm guessing not that much, because not that many people really came out and said, like, you know, what's an esrog worth after Sukkos? After Brexit, before Brexit, with the pound, without the pounds? Pardon? What does one do? What can one do with an esrog? So it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch brings in the halachas of arabas. He says that you use the arabas from Shana Rabba for baking matzah. A lot of people use the lulavim and the arabas also not only for baking matzah, they use it also for burning. They're for Sreifas Chometz. There's a mitzvah to burn the plastic as well to create some noxious fumes for the people standing around. Oh, just kidding, for those, yeah. But I don't know why everybody, why don't you take it out of the thing and throw it in? Why does everybody have to take that plastic that's not supposed to be burned and throw it in? There's no mitzvah in burning the plastic. Be that as it may. So I want to discuss, just to mention maybe, you know, in Ashkof or something, but before we get into the Halacha Shabbai, that Rav Yankel Galinsky, I don't remember the exact maisa because I didn't have a chance to look it up. But he had a maisa where he said he was in Tel Aviv and it was getting later and later and it's close to Shkia and he wanted and he needed a minyan. And he had 9 men in the Beis HaMedrash and there was no 10th person. He looks outside, there's nobody around. He sees a makolet across the road. So he goes across the road and he says to the guy in the makolet, he said, Rabid, come on in. Middle of business. What are you talking about? Come on in. He says, no, come on in, your center. No, yard side, fine. He says, you know what? Whatever you lose, I'll pay you. Fine. The Jew comes in, he sits down, and says, finally, Damon's Mincha. After Mincha, suddenly he says to him, he says, could you stay for Maariv? I'll pay extra for Maariv. He goes, pay me. He says, I'm here already. I'm not taking money, not for Mincha, not for Maariv. I said, fine. So they stayed for Mincha, stayed for Maariv. Rabbi Yankel spoke before Maariv. And he said, you know, when a Yid comes in, and he says, I'm willing to come in, yeah, no problem, I'll come in for you for Maariv. Oh, I got business dealings. Oh, you pay me for the 2 bags of milk that I'll, you know, he says, you know what you said before? By saying that you're only willing to come in for getting paid for the mitzvah, so I'm supposed to be in my makolet, but you've taken me out of my makolet. Okay, if you pay me the amount of money that I lose in my makolet, in the 20 minutes that I'm davening Maariv, then I'll come in and I'll daven Maariv with you. You've given the value of Maariv, you've turned it around into the value of 2 bags of milk. That's what it's worth. Now that I come to you and I say to you, I'm willing to pay you the money and you're not willing to take it, you're advising that the Maariv is really worth a lot more. So very often in life, we're the ones that give value to our mitzvahs. And by valuing things around our mitzvahs, or not valuing things around our mitzvahs, we're also showing very deeply what it is that the mitzvah is worth to us, or what it's not. Yeah, I'm willing to do a mitzvah, but if it's going to cost me so and so much money, then I won't do it. So then it shows you the mitzvah's only worth ad kan. Beyond that, it's not worth it. So that's Taman Ashkof. I mean, you speak about how much is an esrog worth after Yom Tov. Remember, pardon? No, in the value Shabbai, that people should have a value for mitzvahs. Yeah, you should have a value for mitzvahs. Wow. Now, before Yom Tov is also an interesting discussion. I remember I used to come home from the shuk and I used to be very excited. I used to say to my wife, oh, Baruch Hashem, I found a beautiful esrog. It cost me only 100 shekels. And I remember she used to say, what are you so excited about? You came home and you spent only 100 shekels. Why are you so excited that you didn't spend more money on your esrog? I said, no, let me explain to you. If I went into a shuk, and I walked over to the first meicher, and I took an esrog that looks chalushus, and I bought it for 15 shekels, I hear. But none of us, I went to the shuk, and I spent 2 hours, and I rummaged through the esrogim, and I finally found an esrog that's mamish mehudur and beautiful. And I paid 100 shekels for it. He says, that I'm excited about, because be'etzim, how much did it cost that Moicha Esroigim to buy that Esrik? You know, you wish you would have that kind of markup, didn't you? Yeah? What's it? 10,000 times? You know, 10,000%? You know, what's he paying? 1 shekel, 2 shekel, 5 shekels for an Esrik? Let's say he paid 5 shekels for an Esrik, he's selling it for 100 shekels. You can imagine if you bought a pack of crisps and sold them for 20 times the amount, you walked in, you have 50 pounds for a bag of crisps and halperins? Not sure, yeah? You blame Nachum David. Nachum David, imagine £50 for a pack of crisps and halperins. People walk out and say, sugar? £50? It's 20 times the price. It's £2.50. What you buy it for? Well, you know, what is it? Hopefully. Or something like that, you know? So what's the, you know, how can you charge £50 for it? And here you have an esrog. People are charging £100. You know, you can charge you £100 for an esrog. That didn't cost them anywhere near £100 to buy. So he's saying, so, you know, there's no mitzvah to get ripped off. You know, yeah, they're already charging and overcharging whatever it is. So you get the best schor that you can, but there's no mitzvah to pay through the roof for the best schor. So that's just a bit of a back and forth about, you know, values of mitzvahs. Yes, you should value the mitzvah. Don't go in and buy the cheapest. You know, buy and buy nice. You don't have to spend fortunes of money on nice. You can buy nice without spending fortunes of money usually. And treat it with respect. And have the respect for the mitzvah. Now, the question becomes now, so now that we've established, okay, you're willing to value your esrog, you're willing to spend a lot of money on your esrog, and before Yom Tov, you went and you bought an esrog. Now, somebody says to me that this was this discussed this question also in the Inyan, so I'm sorry if anybody has heard this before, but the question is as follows. There was a a fellow who stole an esrog. We all know esrog ha-gozel, possible. Now, if it's possible only on day number one, possible on all the other days, whether, you know, already up for discussion. But let's say somebody stole an esrog. He was jealous. There's a guy who went based medrash. He went into the shop and he said, show me the nicest esrog. So what do you mean the nicest esrog? The nicest esrog. No. Show me what's under the table. Not the 100-pound esrog that you have over here. What's the mamish, the nicest thing? Oh, he sees he's dealing with the right guy. He takes him to the back room. He pulls out an esrog, the nicest thing you've seen. He says, this esrog is 300 pounds. It's got yichus, it's a chazanish esrog from the right pardes, and it's beautiful, and look at the way it's grown, and look at the bleatness. It's just phenomenal. 300 pounds. You see? I'll take it. 300 pounds, you're so proud of your esrog. And the first day you're walking around with your esrog, you show people your esrog, you want to just posh it, show them how beautiful your esrog is, and one guy sees your esrog, and he's so jealous. He's so jealous of your esrog, he can't afford 300 pounds of an esrog. He'll never have an esrog like that either. So he says, you know what? If I can't have that esrog, you're not going to have that esrog either. And he steals your esrog. Steals it. Goes home, keeps it away. He doesn't tell his wife, obviously, that he's done this, otherwise she'll kill him. But, you know, goes home and keeps the esrog hidden. After Yom Tov, he says, what do I need this esrog for? So he comes back to the fellow and he knocks on his door. He says, Yankel, I'm really sorry, I want to do tshuva. Tshuva for what? He says, look, you remember that 300-pound esrog that you bought? He goes, oh, 300 pounds, and I didn't get to use this esrog. He goes, I don't know where it went. It disappeared. He says, well, I know where it went. Really? How do I say this? I was a bit jealous, and I stole it off you. Because you're a bit jealous, and you stole it off me. Yeah, but here it is. I want to give it back to you. Now you're going to give it back to me? Now all I can do with this esrog is make esrog jam out of it. It's not going to be good for next year. Some say if you freeze it and you vacuum pack it, you can make it keep for next year. Other yodanish. I don't know, somebody said, but then as soon as you take it out, it shrivels very, very quickly. I don't know. People said they've tried different experiments. The maisa. This year this esrog was kosher, next year this esrog is possible. You're giving it back the esrog. You're saying, there's your esrog. I stole the esrog. I'm giving you back the esrog. Huh? Pardon? Oh, so we're going to get to Chomos over Pesach. So he said, what were you saying? You're saying exactly the same thing. Yeah? Chomos over Pesach, right? So he's saying, I'm giving it back to you. Here it is. Here's your esrog. He says, an esrog after Pesach is worthless. What am I going to do with this esrog? He says, well, it was a 300-pound esrog. Where was a 300-pound esrog before Yom Tov? If I could use this esrog, mekayim a mitzvah, mehuderes mina mehuder, you pay 300 pounds for such an esrog. Today, the nicest esrog. If I were to bring you an esrog now, and I would show you this esrog, the most beautiful esrog you have ever seen, the greatest giddle and the greatest yichus, and not a single dot, and as many bumps as you want, and a gattle if you want, everything. And I said to you, how much will you pay for this esrog? You will not give me more than 50 pence to pounds. But I said, but there's not a single dot on it, and not a blettle, and it looks beautiful. I says, who cares? What are you going to do with this thing? So he's telling our Reish L'chol HaVanecha. He's saying, I stole it, I'm giving it back to you. The other fellow says, how can you say, Rachel, today it's worth nothing, it's worth esrog jam. That's the shayla. So we'll get to the din of chametz. Let's start with the din of chametz. The din of chametz is brought in Mishnah in Tzadik Vav Amud Beis in Bava Kama, where the Mishnah says he brings different cases of things that you would have done. So, if, for example, Gaza Mabea Venizdak, if he stole a Mabea and it got a hole in it, Peres Ve'Kiva, he stole fruits and then became moldy. And he gave him back moldy fruit. Yain Ve'Hichmitz, or wine and it became sour, turned into vinegar. Now, Malach is Misham Kishasek Zeh, Pesach Kishasek Zeh. Matbea Venifsa, what if you stole a Matbea? And Venifsala, suddenly the government stopped using this Matbea. Truma Venikmes, you stole Truma and became Tommy. Chometz Ralababa Pesach, Chometz and the Pesach, it's gone through Yom Tov and now it's Osir Bahano. Behema Venevda by Avera, Behema and an Avera has been done with this Behema. So then in all those cases, and now it's Osir Bahano, Osir Nifsala Megaba Mizbeach became Posma Megaba Mizbeach, Osir Osir Yoitzadi Soket. Or this animal is now on its way out to skila, and you say, in the Mishnah, you can say, and in Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Simen Shin Samach Gimel in Chosh Mishpat, in Hilchas Kneva or Gezela, let's see what we're up to. Hilchas Gezela, Shin Samach Gimel, Seif Aleph. He brings all these cases, so he brings also, you have Gaza, Paris, Vihirkibu, you stole Paris and it became rotten, if they're entirely rotten, or you stole wine and it became vinegar. It's like Gaza al Keli b'shavrei. It's like taking a Keli and breaking it. Umesham kishas azela. Avin Gaza behemois v'kichashu. If you stole an animal, it became weak, but a weakness that it can come back. Or you stole avodim and it became old, or you stole amadbea and it became possum and medina. But it goes on a different medina. Or she goes on Paris and only part of them became rotten. Or Truma became Toma. If you stole Chometz, Wallababa Pesach, or Behema, Venebaba Vera, or Nifsa, Milikarev, etc., etc. In all those cases, Paschal Zuchon Orch, Haima, he can say, Harei, Shalchola, Fonecha, Umachser, Oiso, Beatzma. So that's an amazing thing, because let's say you had a 500-pound whiskey. You went and you bought a 500-pound whiskey, and somebody took it off you, and you didn't have it over the entire yonder, you didn't know where it was, you couldn't sell it. Or maybe you can sell it, I don't know if you can sell it if it's not in your rishus. You didn't have it, it was all about Pesach, and after Pesach he says, oh, I want to give you back my 500-pound whiskey. This is what I'm going to do with it, I have to throw it straight into the toilet. You pour it out. So, yeah, Harei Shulchol Fanecho. State, Harei Shulchol Fanecho. On the one hand. On the other hand, this is the other part that we're going to have to discuss over here also. There's something that's called garmi. Now, there's something called groma and there's something called garmi. Groma is an indirect causation. Something that you do, but you cause something to go wrong, but indirectly. Garmi is much more direct. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, I think it's Shin Pei Vav over here, that garmi, that nowadays we are done dine de garmi. So for example, somebody didn't pick up, you found your friend's wallet. You didn't pick it up, so if you picked it up, you were coin it. You didn't pick it up. What did you do? You kicked it, and you kicked it, and you kicked it, until it came to the gutter, kicked it, right down the gutter. Kol tuv to the wallet. Chayev. This is a gemara, such a case you're chayev. Even if you never picked it up. Or if you take a matbea, you get rid of the tsura off the matbea. Even though that batz and the matbea weighs the same amount of silver, but now a matbea without a coin, without a face on it, what are you going to do with a coin without a face on it? Yeah? Imagine if I gave you as a 5-pound note, it's just the queen has been tippixed over. Yeah, what are you going to do with a 5-pound note with a queen tippixed over the queen? It's the same 5-pound note, you know, with tippixed over the queen, I can't use it. You take it into a shop, they won't take it. You take it in your shop, you won't take the church. You'll take it in your shop. We send it to Allison. Allison will decide with that one. Yeah, yeah. Who's going to be able to say, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with a note like that? What are you going to do? It's a 5-pound note with the tippets all over the queen. Yeah, you can't do that. So in all those cases, or you sell a shachoy, a machoy. So the halacha is you have to pay because it's a din called a din gami. If you go and you cause directly something, even though you didn't do it yourself, you just caused it. You chayef. So there's two different things going on over here. On the one hand, there's a gami, it's a direct causation. On the other hand, you also have what we said before, is this din of Harei Shulchol Fanecha. So now the question becomes, what do we do about Esrog? We know by Chometz, the halacha is, I can say to you, Harei Shulchol Fanecha, I can give you back your bottle of whiskey and say, tough luck. The question becomes, what about Esrog?
What's the problem in Harei Shulchol Fanecha?
I think that the Hezber is because it's like a Hezek Shein Nikah. So you cannot see the Hezek. That's going to be part of the discussions over here in Allah also. He says, this is the whiskey I saw. For me, this is the whiskey I'm giving back to you. He says, it's also about no. Where? Show me where it's also about. The Isra Bahano is not something palpable. It's like, it's called the Hezek Shein. It's something you cannot see. You cannot tell within it. Which is going to be part of the discussion that the Pesach Tshuva has over here. I can see where we're going to need a part two to this. We definitely need a part two. So it was interesting. I came up with so after I saw this, I heard there was a Pesach Tshuva about it. I heard there was a Prima Godim about it. This is how it all started. I heard there was a Prima Godim. So I found this halacha over here, Reish Halacha Necha, and the Prima Godim over here is quoted in Pesach Tshuva. The problem with the way the Prima Godim is quoted in Pesach Tshuva, anybody who knows the Prima Godim, is there, he's giving a commentary on the Taz and on the Magen Avraham. The Prima Godim on Archaim is giving a commentary, Mishmar Tzai Zav on the Taz, and on the, it's just escaped me now. What's called, and the other one? Eish Avraham, Shkoich. Just escaped me now and then I had, yeah? The Eish Avraham of the Prima Godim. Yeah, there's two Eish Avraams, but the Eish Avraam of the Prima Godim. The Eish Avraam of Buchach. Sometimes they say you have to be careful, but there's two Eish Avraams in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. One is the Buchach Arav, and one is the Eish Avraam, which is the Prima Godim, that wrote on the Magen Avraham. So they're commenting on that. So he brings over here in the Pesach Tshuva, Ein a Prima Godim Arachayim Mishpat Zayzos if cotton Aleph. He didn't have the simon there. You know, I called a friend of mine and said, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, you know, Sivkotn Aleph, there's close to 700 simonim in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. Go find the Prima Godim in Mishpat Zayzos, Sivkotn Aleph. So Baruch Hashem, I took out one Shulchan Aruch, I took out three or four Shulchan Aruch. Finally, I took out one Shulchan Aruch, it tells you it's in Simon Tov Resh Nun Vav. So if you want to look at this Prima Godim, the Prima Godim is quoted in Simon Tov Resh Nun Vav, in Sivkotn Aleph in the Mishpat Zayzos on the Taz. And he mentions the following. He actually mentions one of the shays he mentions. I think we'll mention this as the last thing we'll mention before we finish for tonight. And then next time we'll have to get back into we'll get to the teretz over here of the shayla. Is that the Prima Godim over there asked the question, what happens? This is an interesting one. I didn't understand it properly. I have to look it up in the Prima Godim again. You have, let's go back to the case that we said before, the Esrik. You have this beautiful Esrik that you spend £300 on, and it's the most beautiful Giddel, and enough to tell you the whole story again. And it's got a beautiful pitum as well. And you give me the Esrik, and I have one look at the Esrik, and I go, I bite off the pitum. Here, you can have it back now. You just bit off the pitum. So yeah, I bit off the pitum. So you owe me £300. It was a £300 Esrik. Yeah? How much does a person have to pay back in such a case? So interestingly enough, I only saw Prima Godim inside, but I didn't get to go through. I don't know why, where the Prima Godim says over there, in that case, you only have to buy him a set kosher lebracha. You have to give him back, you don't have to give him back, and you have to pay him, you buy him another esrig, and you have to pay him the value, the difference of the esrig, the value of the esrig after Yom Tov. No, the difference of the value of an esrig after Yom Tov, between a 300-pound esrig and a 10-pound esrig, it's not going to be very much. For some reason, Prima Godim says even on that. So the Prima Godim clears the Shaila that we asked is clear by the Prima Godim. That he asked, in Gozal Esrik Shave Harbe, and he gives it after Yom Tov, do we say it has the halacha of Hareishul Cholof Anecha, like in the case of Chometz? Or can we turn around and say this is not the same thing? Maybe for one reason or another, the Esrik does not have the same halacha as the Chometz, whereas the Chometz you say Hareishul Cholof Anecha, by the Esrik you cannot say Hareishul Cholof Anecha, to be continued in Mirtzah Hashem next time. Anybody saying Kaddish?